You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
It's You Better You Bet with Ken Barkley and Nick Ashew on BetQL.
9 head coaching vacancies now in the NFL, with Sean Payton announcing he's stepping away from the Saints, which isn't retirement. It's temporary retirement. It's I'm tired of coaching a team that doesn't have Drew Brees and no cap space. So is why the hell would I stick around for this?
Is it a Saint Batical? Is that what we're going to call it?
Ah, I see what you did there. There's going to be
a headline. Maybe a headline. Well, Times Picayune tomorrow, maybe?
There will be a dumb headline somewhere out there that will steal that from you, and it will make me mad because you came up with it. Yeah. Saint Batical. So more and more, I'm looking at all of these coaching vacancies right now. Yeah. We've got 9, like we mentioned before. I'll run down through them again. Hold on. It's up here on my own version of spreadsheets. Bears, Broncos.
Okay.
Dolphins, Giants, Jaguars, Raiders, obviously now the Saints, the Texans, and the Vikings. The more and more I look at just the situations of every one of these organizations, I'm really convinced that the Saints is one of the worst job openings that's out there. I would maybe put it with a team like the Vikings. And the reason why I'd say the Vikings is because, well, one, you don't know if Kirk Cousins is going to be your quarterback. If a new general manager doesn't want him, okay, then what are you doing? Kellen Mond, is that the direction you want to go? Probably not. You also are an aging team that was in win-now mode that never actually achieved anywhere close to the goals that were set when you went out and built this roster. So the Vikings, to me, are one of the worst jobs that exist. The best situation that you could be in as a head coach going to coach a new team is flexibility. And the best flexibility you can have is already having your potential anointed franchise quarterback, which means they're also on a rookie deal, preferably a year or two into it most. So you've got years of control with much smaller number, and you have tons of cap space to be able to fill in all the other pieces that need to be filled in around them. And the Saints are neither of those, and neither are the Vikings right now. And it's crazy to look at some of these names, some of these teams, and think that there are, you know, we think of the Saints for so long, right? And you go, well, that's such a great franchise, and they've had so much success. And well, it's not the case anymore. So let's do this. I'm going to name a team. I'm going to kind of give you their maybe a little rundown of their situation here real quick. Let's and you're going to tell me whether the Saints job is a better job or a worse job than this opening I'm going to give you. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right, let's do that. All right. Let's start with the New York Giants, who have about $3 million projected in cap space. Your laugh already tells
I'm
me exactly
already.
The way you're going.
I'm already laughing. I know. Sorry.
The big questions, obviously, are what about Daniel Jones? Is Daniel Jones your franchise quarterback? Do I have to keep him? What about Saquon Barkley? You're pretty much still in a rebuild. How long is that going to take? You have 2 top 10 picks, though, in the draft, which is a little beneficial. Would you take the Saints job or the Giants job if you were a head coach?
Oh, man. Well, it's like pretty brutal both ways. I mean, I would take like I think I agree with you. Like, without going through each particular team, when you read the initial list, I go, I think I would like all the other ones before the Saints, I guess.
Yep.
But like, Giants are rough, man. Cause like, even in your own division, like Dallas is in a window where they're going to be pretty good for a while. Philly seems like they're at least in like a window where they're not going to bottom out for a little bit here. Right. Washington's probably on the way up. You know, whatever, however you interpret that, on the way up could be
you're
9 and 8.
You're more optimistic than me, so I'm glad to hear that.
Well, see, I mean, like plug in X above average quarterback, and like that team's win total next year is like 8.5 or 9, probably.
Yeah.
And with a coach that I think everyone considers like above, you know, upper half of the league, basically. So that's division's brutal. Like, do you have a lot of pieces to work with there? You probably don't have your quarterback. You have a new GM. You have a terrible owner. You have a division that's really tough. I guess just like, can you get out of your cap situation easier than New Orleans can? Sure. I mean, New Orleans can be the worst one salary wise, but like, I don't know, man. They're both brutal. They're both really brutal. Like, what if Brady retires? Wouldn't I rather have the Saints job if Brady retires?
Yeah. But again, even if Brady retires, you can plug in an average quarterback there and you've got more talent really in a better team than in Tampa than you do in New Orleans.
Yeah, but that'll evaporate really fast. Because if Brady retires, Arians is going to be gone really fast. Both coordinators will take jobs. Mm-hmm. Like, that whole thing blows up almost immediately when that happens. Like, it was meant to sustain this run. So, like, cool, maybe you get one more year of, like, the residue of those players. But the coordinators are both going to take jobs. Like, either in this cycle or the next cycle. There's so many openings this cycle. But, and, like, Arians is, like, very limited time-wise, I think, if Brady goes in terms of what he would do. Like, that whole thing is like very, very combustible, I guess would be the right way to put it. So like, I don't know, just based on the ability to win, like Carolina unimpressive. Atlanta still needs to figure out what they're doing. They're probably like a couple years away, depending on what they do at quarterback. It's really like not, it's just the salary cap is just like the number one handcuff in this situation. Cause the setup actually isn't that bad. Mm-hmm. If it's like, when we get to some of the NFC North jobs, it's like Rodgers might be gone. Like, I kind of want to be in that division now. Like, that sounds pretty awesome, actually. Like, oh, I have to compete with Detroit Rats, you know? how unfortunate. So, I don't know. I guess the salary cap is like the tiebreaker for two miserable situations, to be honest, where you don't have your quarterback and you have like very little kind of to build around. Like, let's spin this to a different question. Cause I don't want to like make everything like I know about the salary cap so much more than everybody else. Cause I don't. Who would you rather have starting a quarterback next year, Taysom Hill or Daniel Jones?
Oh, God. Taysom Hill.
In a vacuum, who do you think you'd win more with?
Probably Taysom Hill, because Daniel Jones just still turns the ball over too much. And now there's health questions about him on top of that. But like, I'm also not confident in Taysom Hill as a quarterback for 17 games next year either. And that's the worst part about it. God, this is... I mean, again, they're both junk jobs, honestly.
They're both not great. You got to, in the Saints case, you're following like a two decade. I mean, what was the first year with Peyton? 06. And that was the first year of Peyton and Breeze together. They made it to the playoffs, made it to the NFC Championship game that year. And then, yeah, I mean, that was like a 15 year run, basically. So you're following that. Expectations will be like too high. You will never be able to meet them. The team has to bottom out first. Or you could go to the Giants, who've been the worst team in the NFL for the last 10 years. Like, is there any other openings? Like, that's what, I don't know. I love that we did this one first.
Yeah, because this is it's really difficult. I would maybe say that I would take the Saints jobs just slightly over the Giants, only given the fact that you know there is at least a little more talent on that Saints roster overall, but you don't have much like you can create some level of
flexibility. We don't even know the answer to that, right?
Well, of course, there's also Michael Thomas and whether he's going to be back because he didn't play at all this year for them. So there's that question on top. God, I really thought I'd at least be able to sit here and say it's
Saints, honestly. Just because, like, maybe for a couple years you can keep enough of the pieces around. Like, I am not like Mr. Contracts and Mr. Free Agency and stuff like that. But okay, like you have like Kamara, bookend tackle. Like, you have one of the best offensive lines in the league with bookend tackles. You have edge rush. You have like a bunch of good defensive pieces, probably can't keep most of them, but like the core is all still there basically.
Yeah.
Of what they have. It's just what are they going to be able to keep? I mean, the Giants have almost none of those pieces in place that the Saints have right now. So it's like, are we talking about this year, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, et cetera? They're both crummy versus some of the other, I think, setups that you get. And most of that's honestly predicated on the fact that it's not only that you don't have your quarterback, it's that you're like stuck in a situation potentially with somebody you don't want for a year, maybe. Right. Like right. Jones and Taysom, I mean, whatever this Taysom Hill thing is.
Well, a lot of times the first year, though, as a head coach, you're going in and it's just the first year is just cleaning out the swamp anyway. It's just right. taking a big giant power washer and blowing out all the crap that you don't want sitting there in the crawl space anymore and just destroying all of that. So, like, I kind of look at the first year like, all right, if you're stuck with Daniel Jones for a year, I wouldn't really care because this isn't a draft where you want to go in and actually go draft somebody to consider that you're a franchise quarterback. It's just not – look, it may turn out differently, but right now we're looking at it is not a strong draft when it comes to quarterbacks. So if you got to hang with Daniel Jones for a year, whatever. Nobody's going to expect you to win the first year with the Giants anyway. It's after that and what you're able to do. And, you know, the right. question is how much can the Saints – change in terms of their flexibility versus the Giants. Giants would have a tiny little bit of cap space, but again, that can seen anywhere from 3 to 5.8 million over the cap. So it's like you kind of look at this and go, it's almost a push. I'd maybe just go with the Saints because they've had better recent success. There's a little bit of a better culture there, but again, we're like nitpicking to try and figure out what the better job is there. Neither one of them is very good.
And I love that you open with that one because the other ones we're going to do, I'm just going to be like, oh, well, that one's better than the Saints. We open with the one that's like absolutely brutal. Can I ask you a random win total question?
Yes. What do you
think? Jones is the starting quarterback next year. Let's assume that they don't make a crazy out of the box hire at head coach. Let's assume they hire like someone in the pool, probably with experience or like a coordinator who's not like completely out there. They don't get like Urban Meyer or something. That's like something ridiculous that would cause some ridiculous market reaction. Their win total last year was 7.
Yep.
Joe Judge, it will not surprise you to learn, gone under his win total both years as a head coach. Now there'll be a new coach.
Shocking.
Like if it's Jones again, what do you think the win total is for the Giants next year?
I'd probably put it at 6 to 6.5. Only reason is because that division every year, there's always a second team that's competing for a playoff spot or just something they beat up on each other enough where those win totals don't go too low, but they don't necessarily get sky high. Like, you know what the Cowboys market is going to be next year? It's going to be some ridiculous number again, because people are going to sit there and constantly take the over at least on Dallas. The question then is Philadelphia and Washington, more Philadelphia. Is there going to be more confidence in Jalen Hurts and that team when they did not look good in the playoffs, but you saw the way they played down the stretch of the regular season? I told you they were frauds. I was right. They were frauds. But then you look at Washington. Washington?
No, you didn't say they were frauds. You said they're lying.
They were liars.
Well,
they were frauds as well, but they were lying to us.
You gave them like agency. You made them like, you personified them. You made them like a person that was doing something. Like, they're lying to us. Like as if like the logo or like the mascot comes up to you and is like, hey,
was I wrong? Was I wrong? They lied to us. Damn it. They lied.
I'm glad you weren't wrong. Tampa minus 7. Bing bong. Yeah. So you think Dallas's will be higher than that? If the Giants is like 6 or 6.5. Oh God. I mean, it would have to be some kind of coach for me to not want to bet the under again. I mean, it would really,
I
think Washington's going to be better. Philly will be rated higher and I actually might play the under. I'm already thinking about this. I'm such a loser, but they're going to open Philly at like 8.5 and there's no way I'm going to bet the over. And like, I might have to figure out what to do, but they're going to be rated really highly. And Dallas, you're right. I said 10.5. Maybe it's 11. I don't know, but usually, like 10.5, 11, I guess. And then Washington will be like, Washington had Ryan Fitzpatrick to start the year. They were 8.5. Like, what are they going to be now? Like, they have to at least be the same. 8, maybe. So then that, like, what can the Giants, like, the Giants have to be terribly rated if those are the other three teams in the division and one of them just made the playoffs and is getting better in Philly and Dallas is still up really high. Washington, we'll see what they do roster wise.
Like, I guess the one thing to factor into is a last place schedule with the Giants, right? If it's a last place schedule, you're looking at maybe they give them an extra win just because of that.
So that's why. Detroit.
Washington.
Washington
plays Detroit next year.
How is that possible? Oh, maybe just because you play that same division. Maybe you play the whole division, though.
Yeah, I think it's the whole division next year, if I remember correctly.
Okay. So, because you're like last place schedule, you're only talking about like two additional teams. And then I guess the extra game, too, I guess is part of it now. So then who came in last in the South this year? I wish I had the standings in front of me. Carolina come in last
in the NFC South? Carolina was 5-12. So they were last place in the NFC South.
Right. And then, so what would the other, I'm sure. This is terrible radio right now.
I'm trying to help you. Seattle. I just don't know where you're going.
Sorry. Yeah. So no, yeah. Like, who came in last? Seattle in the West. Sorry.
Yep.
Okay. So potentially you get Carolina. I just said, and you were like, you got to give me some words here. Give me some English language. Carolina and Russell Wilson list Seattle. I guess that's like a pretty good draw schedule wise versus some of the other teams. I don't know, man. It's that division. I know we like spun this into a side tangent. All I do in my spare time is think about NFL win totals. It's all I think about. I find it fascinating. I do. I find it very interesting.
If we ever had the technology,
Bet Philly's under. Like I know I'm going to do it, and no one will talk me out of it. It's going to open like 8.5 or 9. It's going to be wrong.
I actually agree with you on that too, because as you get more and more of Jalen Hurts, you start to see more and more of his tendencies and his weaknesses.
Maybe it'll be lower. Maybe it'll be lower. Prove me wrong, Mark. Let's see.
The only thing I care about is I wish I could get some sort of way to hear your inner monologue constantly, just like sitting at home, you're at dinner with your family, and
usually
you're
thinking about
Philly's
win
total next year.
Playing with my kids, and in my head, I'm like, Eagles, what's that going to be? 8.5?
Have you ever seen that meme? There's a meme. It's like one of those stock photos that's turned to like this great meme where it's like one woman, she's laying in bed, and it always says, like, I wonder what he's thinking, and the guy's rolled over looking the other way, and it's always something stupid about, like, video games like fantasy football. Right. That's what I think of as you. I wonder what he's thinking, and it's something dumb, like, I wonder what Philly's win total is going to be next year. That's it. Like, that's you in
dumb.
A nutshell.
That's a money-making opportunity. That's
this
what we
is
call
true.
That.
It is a money.
That's not dumb. Yeah, anybody else who's listening, anybody else who works in any other line of work, it would be very dumb. People who listen to this show, now it's potentially profitable. You know, that's what we're working with here. I don't know. Yeah, so I kind of want to – your team, I mean, I have to know who the quarterback is, I guess, to make that decision. But
and that's Washington's got so much up in the air still, because you have no idea who their quarterback's going to be. They could pull off some crazy trade. I doubt it, but that's certainly a possibility. I mean, what do they do in the draft? Do they get Kenny Pickett? All right, I like Kenny Pickett, but like, are we really that excited about him? Is he starting week one? Like, is it Taylor Heineke again? I mean, okay, so there's still a lot of question marks there with it. But I guess through all of this, we've decided that the Giants' job, you would not take over the Saints, but not by much.
The last decade, of course. I mean, like, how could it be better? It's just, it's equally terrible, right? Like, you still have a lot of cleanup to do, basically. Clean up an entire franchise.
You do. At least you get to live in New Orleans. You could live in New Orleans if you're there. So, all right, we'll figure out the rest of these teams and where they rank next. You better you bet on BetQL. Ken Barkley, Nick Ashew.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Better You Bet with Ken Barkley and Nick Ashew on BetQL.
You know, a job opening's bad when it takes an entire segment for us to figure out whether you'd rather take the Giants or the Saints job. That's so
all
that's
we've heard
what
today.
We had to go through
all we've heard today is how bad the Saints are. That's all we've heard.
Yeah.
How bad the Saints are. And yet it still took us 12 minutes to be like, I don't know.
That's how bad the Giants are. And anybody that knows the Giants knows that is a very, very tough situation to go into. But you know, with Sean Payton now leaving the Saints and probably getting into broadcasting for a year and then going to the Cowboys and being their head coach after 1 year, it makes sense for him to go. You got no cap space. You don't have any prospects as a franchise quarterback. And we knew this was going to happen with the Saints too, right? And all that money. Like, they talked about it for years. Well, they're manipulating the salary cap and they're pushing it back and all these weird deals that they did with Taysom Hill where it's $100 million. Not really, just kidding. It's like no money guaranteed, but we're doing it to manipulate the salary cap. Eventually, you're going to have the debt collector finally come knocking on your door, and that's exactly what's going to happen now with the Saints, where at this point, whatever coach goes in and takes this job, Ken, is going to look at this as a complete rebuild. Year one's not going to mean anything. They're going to try to just figure out what type of flexibility they can move forward. So we know that the Giants job you said no to, which I agree. I would slightly take the Saints job over that, but that salary lack of flexibility is a big, big problem for me. But I just think the Giants have a worse roster, and they just showed they were maybe the worst team in the NFL by the end of the season. They were just absolutely atrocious that I wouldn't want to walk into that. But let's look at all these other vacancies that are out there right now. The Minnesota Vikings, for example, all right? This is a team that's going to be, I think, $14 million over the salary cap. You got Kirk Cousins' future. What the hell are you going to do with that? Is he sticking around? Are you going with Kellen Mond? We know what Mike Zimmer feels about that. He doesn't want to see him. He saw him enough in practice. I mean, he literally said that in a press conference, which was one of the most badass cold things to do for a coach, just to be like, I've seen him.
Why not?
I've seen him enough.
Sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, why not? Like Biden at that. It's like Biden him. With the hot mic yesterday. It's like, stupid son of a. basically, Mike Zimmer and Joe Biden. What's the difference? That's what we're talking about next.
Yeah. They're an aging team. Their goal was to win now. They're not in that case. I would.
Well, all the Vikings feel Saints-esque, don't they? Don't they? It feels
yes,
like the exact
and
same
that's
thing.
Where I'm like, is this also something right there where you just go, this is kind of even like it is with the Giants? I gave the edge slightly to the Saints over the Giants. I don't know if I can do that with the Vikings, that they're just even there. I still think the Saints opening is one of the worst in the NFL. But the question is if you're a head coach and you have both, do you go and take a Vikings job? Or, like, neither one of them has flexibility. I would actually take the Vikings job over the Saints because they have at least a little less cap-strappedness. Is that a word? Cap-strappedness? I'm gonna make it a word.
Financial flexibility? How about financial flexibility,
even though they technically don't really. But you at least have a quarterback that you can win games with in Kirk Cousins. Like, I would rather have Kirk Cousins over Jameis Winston or literally Taysom Hill, anybody, doesn't matter to me. Trevor Siemian, I don't care. So I would take the Vikings job over the Saints job.
Yeah, I think I'm always going to think about this less like a GM and more like just how I handicap games, basically. And I like both the both the Saints and the Vikings jobs more than the Giants because, like, it's sort of like almost a college program. Like, we'll always talk about like Texas or LSU when they're down and be like, well, if you get that place rolling, like, there's a lot of things that go with that. Like, you start getting better recruits. The stadium's bananas. Like, you kind of get like the culture back, basically. Like, there's sort of a hotbed there. Like, the Vikings and the Saints might have the two strongest home field advantages in the league. Yeah. So, like, yeah. I mean, if the goal is literally just to win, then they dwarf the Giants in terms of just like a built-in fundamental aspect of their culture that's different than the Giants, which is that their home crowd's insane and it's much more valuable than the Giants is. So, like, right off the bat, I'm just like, well, I could probably win a little bit more with an average roster. I could win a little bit more there because I'll be a little bit better in my home games. And now do I have a quarterback? So it's funny, like, even just as like a basic starting point, like, if the Vikings are any good, that place is crazy. The Saints are any good, that place is crazy. If the Giants are any good, who cares? That place isn't crazy. It sucks. So, I mean, just like, we're just comparing those three things, basically. So, I mean, but again, we're talking about, we're almost going in order of most undesirable because we're going to get to some of these teams. Yeah. It's going to be a no-brainer, I think, in a couple of these situations.
All right, let's throw the Texans out there real quick then. You got a disaster of a team. You've got a quarterback situation where you've got to figure out whether Deshaun Watson's staying. He's not staying. Yep. You've got an owner that people just seem to not like. It's become incredibly dysfunctional in Houston. Would you take the Houston job over New Orleans?
No, I take New Orleans easily. Yep. I don't even think it's close. Yep. Like, that's why I said yep. I didn't mean all no brainer where like the Saints was worse. I just mean like a lot of these are easier decisions. I can't like with that owner and Easterby, there's a 0% chance I would take any other job in the league over that, no matter the cap space. I just it's like
about 24 24 million in cap space.
Everything that's written about the team makes it seem like a cult. Like they hired David Culley and paid him $40 million to do what coach 1 year. Like what am I supposed to do with that? Like, how am I supposed to win there, basically? And if I do win, like, does it even matter? Like, because Easterby's there pulling all the strings. Like, I'll probably be like, well, good thing Easterby got all the credit for that. Like, awesome. Great. It just seems like a really, really messed up situation, honestly. And I'm not even like Mr. GM, and even I know it's a messed up situation. And not to mention the Watson thing hangs over everything. But yeah, I would much rather have the Saints job. Much rather.
All right, Oakland Raiders. Jeez. Las Vegas Raiders. Jeez, it's still going to be a habit. Ooh. I would take the Raiders job over the Saints job.
I agree.
I would take the Raiders job. Agree. Yeah. Yeah.
How much I wonder what Derek Carr's contract situation is like. This is me just thinking out loud because I never keep these things in the back of my brain. So they have cap space, $27 million.
Almost $28 million, right. So there's that. You have Derek Carr. And look, let me tell you something, man. I can't remember if you and I have talked about this or not. I understand Derek Carr is not, he's not Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or one of these quarterbacks. He's a good quarterback and he's a great leader. And what he's been able to do with that team this year to get them to the playoffs, just as a leader, let alone the way that he's played in clutch situations. Obviously at times he's sort of one of those has the ability to put out his own fires, right? He lights a fire somewhere early in the game and turns the ball over. And then all of a sudden he turns around and has a great play late in the game and leads him to a game winning drive and they win. So it's a little bit weird. But I would take Derek Carr over a majority of the quarterbacks still in the NFL, given a lot of the bad situations that are out there.
Sure. Yeah, don't disagree. Vegas, another place that potentially has an extremely strong home field advantage. Now, your biggest problem with the Vegas job is that Herbert and Mahomes are in the division forever. That's your biggest problem, a lot, honestly. And one of the reasons the Texans job might end up being valuable is that, like, okay, like the Titans are rolling right now, but like don't really have like a super long-term solution at quarterback. Tannehill's like in the kind of like late prime of his career, probably the way it's going to end up shaking out. Yeah, Colts, like obviously like a sort of a monster franchise right now, coach GM wise, but Carson Wentz was their quarterback last year and they keep kind of rotating in, and then Trevor Lawrence. So like there's, you know, problems there, but to have Mahomes and Herbert in the division forever is really, 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 really undesirable. Like really, really, really undesirable. And one's locked up and the other's going to sign the Mahomes contract in whatever, 2 years or whatever he can sign.
Right.
I mean, that's that's where we're going. And
the one good thing is
there for a while too.
You have that flexibility in Vegas where you've got almost $30 million in cap space. And then you're in the last year of Derek Carr's contract at $19.8 million. And then he's off the books. So you'd have the ability then to go out and get somebody else if you want to. That doesn't mean that when you're in the market for a franchise quarterback, you automatically just find him, though. That's why it's a lot easier when you have a young quarterback that you already feel like at least could be that guy. Now, that brings up a team like the Dolphins for me here. So you've got up to, and again, all these are estimates. Guys can get cut. They can rework contracts. So this cap space can go a lot of different directions. But projected cap space for the Dolphins could be up to $75 million. You've got 7 picks in the draft. It's not a ton, but it's not bad. You got Jalen Waddle, which is a major, major plus, is 2 of the franchise quarterback. You saw flashes. They certainly played better at the end of the year. The big thing for me is that team finished 8-1. Now, is a lot of that because of Brian Flores, or was that despite him in some of the conversations about his maybe lack of building relationships with people around the building? I would take the Dolphins job without question over the Saints job.
Yeah, I don't think it's even close. I mean, you have a prospect at quarterback who could be something. You have a gajillion dollars in cap space. Now, the division's rough until Belichick leaves because it's Buffalo and him. And the Jets are probably on the way up, but we don't know what they're on the way up to. They could be on the way up to slightly below average. That'd be like
to what? 5 wins? 6 wins? Right. I mean,
but they're
careful.
But
they're still the Jets.
It's unlikely they're trending down in the next 2 years. It's more likely that they get marginally better each year. And that maybe that ends up popping with some kind of over 500 season in the next 2 years. We'll see. Like, it's just Wilson's development will determine the answer to that question, but they're probably not bottoming out with like new coach and second overall pick quarterback. The Dolphins. Go ahead.
No, I was going to move on to the next coaching job.
I was just going to say with the Dolphins real quick, They are another team. This was true of them last year, and I think it'll be true again this year. They're another one of those teams like Philly and like New Orleans where their win total, like, are they moving? Which tier are they moving to in terms of how the market is rating them, right? They were a bottom tier 2 years ago. They get Flores and they draft Tua and they overachieve versus expectations significantly. They win 10 games in a 16-game season, go way over their number. Then market over, they move up a tier big time, maybe almost move to top tier, 9.5 in the market, 9.5, depending on where you looked. And did they meet those expectations? Like, do we feel like it's just how you interpret the first and second halves of those seasons? Is it the same number? Like, again, assuming who the coach is and like Tua is the starting quarterback. Did they meet expectations enough in the second half of the year that the number should be 9 or 9.5 again? And like, and the cap space goes along with that too. And they'll obviously spend the money, but like, just kind of interesting. They're another number. Cause you know, it's January. This is what I do. I think about bets that are going to take place 9 months from now. Like, what is their number going to be next year? Like, are we really, we're convinced that that was like the right number for them? Like we like yet nailed it like 9, 9.5 in that division. I don't know, man. Like, I guess, yeah, they spend the money, of course, but they're another team like kind of in flux in terms of like, what tier do they belong in? Again, mm-hmm, like Chiefs belong mm-hmm. in a certain tier. Giants belong in a certain tier, the bottom one. Just, you know, you can kind of put teams in spots. They're a tough team to put in a spot. They really are. I think they oftentimes that can create a valuable bet.
Yeah, the big thing for me is them finishing the season 8-1. That's very telling sure. that there is some talent there and guys that want to win. Real quick, because we only have 60 seconds here. We'll save the rest of the teams for later in the show. Denver Broncos. That is a absolutely without a doubt I'm taking that job over the Saints. $48 million in cap space, give or take. Really all you need is a quarterback. And you may have the ability to go out and get a quarterback this offseason if you're in Denver. That team is a quarterback away from being a legit contender. They got a lot of talent on both sides of the football. I'm absolutely taking that job over the Saints.
Yeah. Insane home field advantage. Division's absolutely brutal, but it doesn't matter. I mean, if you get the right quarterback, I guess, like, who cares? And you have cap space. So, like, yeah, if it's between that and, you know, you have the next franchise quarterback, you get to coach Trevor Lawrence, or even if you love Justin Fields, great. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think it's better.
Also, Denver is an awesome, awesome city. I love it in Denver. Brian Scalabrine is going to join us next. We'll get into some NBA bets. Could we have the return of Anthony Davis tonight for the Lakers? It's You Better You Bet.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.